"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier, connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Doug McIntyre in for John and Ken. It is 2:04 on a Tuesday afternoon. We're here till 4. Conway at that time. Later on this hour, we're going to give you a chance to win tickets to the iHeartRadio Music Festival, so keep it right here. We'll also talk with ABC's Andy Field, who's going to give us the update on former President Trump's surrender plans in the state of Georgia. That's coming up, I guess, on Thursday. And Kaputnik. We went from Sputnik to Kaputnik. A Russian spacecraft crashed into the moon. A lot of things going on in Russia. I know there's a lot of things going on everywhere. It's hard to keep track of all of it. We'll update you on some of these stories. But this story certainly caught my attention. Three students at the Beverly Crest-based Harvard Westlake School have committed suicide in the past 7 months. Now, that's an astonishing number for a student population of 1,600. First, last spring, a young girl at Harvard Westlake's junior class. A few months later, a senior boy shot himself. And a third, a junior, killed himself just after school broke for the summer. And one of the people at the school said, "It's tragic, but not terribly surprising that students are feeling pressured from academic expectations and this whole LA lifestyle." You know, Harvard Westlake is a very upscale place. I think tuition is around almost $47,000 a year. But the economic issues are irrelevant, really, when it comes to this, because we're seeing that this is a national trend and an alarming trend. According to the CDC, an estimated 49,449 people died by suicide in the U.S. last year, up 2.6% from an estimated 48,000 in 2021. To talk to us about why is this happening, why are we seeing so much self-destruction, it's a pleasure to welcome from the National Action Alliance for Suicide Prevention, Sarah Brummett. Sarah, how are you? Thank you for being with us.
I'm good. Thanks for having me on, Doug. Appreciate it.
This is unthinkable for a lot of people, but that's where we go wrong because, tragically, a lot of people, and I mean millions of people, have certainly suicidal thoughts, and people act out on this, and then frequently it's dismissed as, quote-unquote, you know, attention-grabbing, or we have all kinds of negative ways we frame this. But the reality is we have almost 50,000 people last year who actually killed themselves.
Yeah, and thanks for highlighting this really important aspect that not a lot of folks talk about. And as you mentioned, it's really important to frame how we're talking about this topic, because as you said, you know, millions of Americans have thoughts of suicide each and every year. And even more, you know, have survived a suicide attempt. And the data also tells us that the vast majority of folks who survive a suicide attempt will not go on to die by suicide. So it's really important that when we're talking about these very real tragedies that are happening in our communities, we don't lose sight of the full continuum of how suicide can impact us, and that there is, you know, hope and support for folks that are in that dark place at this moment.
And it seems like there are so many cultural forces that are contributing to this. And look, during the Great Depression in the 1920s and 30s, there were famously people leaping out of buildings, and the despair was very high when you had 25-30% unemployment and there was no social safety net. So people were literally starving. And then you had a two-ocean war. You had the Dust Bowl, where people lost everything and were wandering nomads coming from Oklahoma to California. So we've had periods in our history that were really, frankly, gloomier than they are today. But what's different is it's in our face 24/7. We are bombarded with stories, if it bleeds, it leads, of negativity that I actually, and this is not scientific, but I actually think that in some ways we've conditioned, especially the young people, when you read about three people at one school killing themselves in 7 months with a small student body population, it's almost like we have convinced our young people that life is hopeless.
Yeah, I think you are touching on a lot of, you know, social context that can impact, you know, how and when we might, you know, experience risk factors or even experience things that would lead us to suicidal despair. And many of those are outside of our control. It's just based on, you know, the time we're living in, where we're living in. So that could be, you know, community violence, economic stability, housing security. It also could be a lot of trauma, loss of loved ones, discrimination, not being able to access responsive health care that you might need in your community, and things that happen, you know, in our young formative years that we know can create trauma that follows us throughout our lifetime. And really, you know, taking a moment to pause based on what this data is telling us and making sure that we don't turn a blind eye to what these losses represent, and that we take it as a call to action to roll up our sleeves and work together on building communities worth living in that do offer folks that ray of light when things are feeling really, really dark.
We're talking about Sarah Brummett. She's on the executive committee of the National Action Alliance for Suicide Prevention. I've got a story here that says binge drinking among adults ages 35 to 50 occurred at record prevalence in 2022. This according to National Institutes of Health. New study found nearly 30% of people in this age group reported binge drinking, continuing a consistent upward trend in the behavior. And I've got a friend of mine who's a bar manager, and he says everybody shows up on drugs because alcohol has gotten very expensive, you know, $14 cocktails, $16 cocktails. So the pregame show consists often of getting some kind of a buzz going through extracurricular means. But the bottom line is that we are anesthetizing ourselves, and that's also an alarm bell for future problems. So it's from young people to older people across demographics. The issue of depression that can lead to self-destruction is a pandemic that certainly needs as much attention paid to it as COVID.
Yeah, I think, you know, picking up on that, really noting the social norms that we live in and the context around, you know, when it might be more accepted or prevalent or general practice to kind of consume alcohol at different levels. Definitely impacts our well-being and our ability to navigate, you know, rough spots that we encounter. And so making sure that we're not leaving, you know, substance use and folks engaged in that work and harm reduction out of the conversations when we're talking about, you know, suicide prevention or mental health promotion. They're equal partners that really need to be at the table in these. well, in these conversations.
People forget that biochemically alcohol is a depressant. So, yes, we call it happy hour, and there's a temporary elevation of mood, but it eventually turns against you and is the worst thing that somebody who is prone to serious clinical depression and suicide thoughts can do. And I want to go back to the social pressures. The Harvard-Westlake story, of course, they feature the fact that it's an upscale place where there's a lot of pressure on kids to get into the best schools and to, you know, like their life is ruined if they go to Arizona State. You know, they got to go to Harvard, or they got to go to Princeton or one of the elite schools. But there's all kinds of pressures that kids are subjected to, and it's been well documented that young girls in particular, body shape imagery that goes through TikTok and Instagram posts and filtered photos and cyberbullying. There have always been bullies. There will always be bullies in school. But the difference is bullying usually stopped when you came home for the holidays or at night. But that doesn't happen. On Christmas morning, people can be trolled online. So it's relentless. And when you add that onto what we do in the news business by telling people that real issues, these are genuine issues. Climate change, for instance, is a genuine issue. But we're basically telling kids that the Earth is a giant, you know, incinerated, you know, tandoori oven, and we're doomed. And we create this culture of hopelessness rather than putting things into a context that, yes, there are problems that must be dealt with, but life is not hopeless.
Yeah, I think, you know, my suggestion and what a lot of folks have taken the approach is really stopping and listening to the young people in our lives and hearing what
Get
those stressors going on in their lives are. And, you know, rather than pushing back and telling them, oh, it's not that bad, it's their experience and it's their life, and really being with them in that moment, hearing what is stressing them out and how they're feeling can be so important for young people, and really having them tell you what they need rather than, you know, as adults, we often come in and say, this is what you should be doing, this is how you should be feeling, this is, you know, your direction, but really letting young people inform their worlds that they're going to, you know, inherit one day. And so really for our young people, one of the biggest protective factors in their lives is having a caring, trusted adult that they can go to for help. Someone that will listen to them, that will have their back, someone that's validating of their, you know, identity, their experiences. And we know that can help in different areas of their life, not just when we're talking about, you know, mental health or suicide, but it helps across a whole host of things, whether that's substance use, binge drinking, interpersonal violence, any of that stuff. Just being there for young people in our lives is really important.
Sarah, what's the website for the National Action Alliance for Suicide Prevention?
So folks can find out more about the Action Alliance just by Googling National Action Alliance for Suicide Prevention and seeing what a lot of our partners are up to and the different organizations that have, you know, committed to rolling up their sleeves and addressing suicide prevention in our country.
All right. Thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate your time, Sarah Brummett, National Action Alliance for Suicide Prevention. The bottom line is that when somebody starts to talk about ending their life, you have to take it seriously. Even if it turns out to be, quote unquote, a cry for help or attention, well, there's something cooking there, and you don't want to roll the dice on that. The consequences are too great.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
KFI is sending you and a friend to Las Vegas for the 2023 iHeart Radio Music Festival. Two nights featuring Foo Fighters, Lenny Kravitz, Tim McGraw, and more. You'll get access to iHeartRadio's all-new House of Music, a gas card to fuel your road trip, and we'll put you up at an MGM Resorts destination. Plus, one grand prize winner will go backstage for an exclusive experience with one of the artists from the festival. Visit MGMResorts.com today to plan your dream Vegas getaway to your favorite MGM Rewards destination, and keep listening to KFI for your chance to win a road trip to the 2023 iHeartRadio Music Festival. All right, coming up in just a bit, Andy Field, ABC News. We're going to talk about Trump's plan to surrender in Georgia, as well as A whole bunch more coming. We're here till 4 o'clock, by the way, with Tim Conway Jr. And next hour, we're going to talk with an LA City Councilwoman who's going to join to talk to us about this bill that she's pushing in the City Council. Her name is Heather Hutt. She's on the LA City Council, and she's going to talk to us about why LA might ban the cashless businesses. And we'll get into that as well. But, you know, as a child of NASA, as a spacenik, growing up, going from, you know, John Glenn through Apollo 11 and all the space shuttle missions, et cetera, I've always been absolutely taken with space programs, even though I think Star Wars kind of ruined it. I really do. I think the Star Wars movies and all those movies that have followed kind of took the excitement, because everybody, if you were a kid during Apollo 11, it was the most exciting thing in the world. You could walk down the street and literally hear Walter Cronkite and the telecast of coverage of Apollo 11 coming out of every window in America. You could walk down the street and never miss a word of the coverage. Everybody was glued to it, globally, really. And then what happened was the Star Wars movies came out and there were no space lasers being shot. And it was boring. I see, like, guys just sailing around in the space shuttle, et cetera. And the only time we paid attention, tragically, was one blew up, which is really tragic, to say the least. Well, the Russians are trying to get back in the game. The Indians are getting into the game, by the way. They've got a lunar lander that's supposed to go up to the moon very shortly. China is starting a very aggressive lunar program. But the Russians had a big setback. Their Luna 25 spacecraft crashed into the moon on Monday. Yuri Borisov, the head of the Russian space agency, said, quote, "Before making adjustments, the spacecraft reoriented and the engines were turned on that were supposed to correct the course and lead the spacecraft to pre-landing orbit. Unfortunately, the engine shutdown did not occur normally in accordance with cyclogram," whatever that means, "but according to a temporary cutoff," and boom, it went from Sputnik to Kaputnik to Splatnik. Slammed into the moon. And there you go. And he said, "We have to essentially master all the technologies all over again, of course, at a new technical level after a 50-year hiatus, nearly 50-year hiatus, Russia has had in even looking towards the moon." But you wonder, okay, why is everybody racing to the moon at this point? And it's, you know, between Bezos and Jeff, you know, all of the Jeff Bezos and all of the billionaires, Elon Musk, obviously, and the guy from Virgin Galactic, the guy with the big hair, he looks like a lion tamer. I can't remember his name now. But anyway, you know what we're talking about. That guy. He could be Siegfried and Roy. But all the billionaires are trying to go into space. But now nation states are starting to be very, very interested in going to the moon and beyond. And part of it is because they think there's money to be made, that there are minerals to be exploited from the moon, specifically the south pole of the moon, where they believe there's water in frozen ice, which could then be a launching pad to Mars and beyond. This is also why, while Donald Trump was mocked for the Space Force, remember when he announced the Space Force and everybody was making fun of him for that? Well, it turns out, first of all, this wasn't his idea. The Space Force was an idea that folks in the Pentagon have been pushing for some time. And in an odd way, this creation of the Space Force may turn out to be one of the most important things that happened during the Trump administration, because there is an axiom in world history that goes back to the 1880s when Captain Alfred Thayer Mann, who was a U.S. Navy officer, wrote a book called The Influence of Sea Power Upon History. I know this is in the weeds, folks, but stick with me. This book, The Influence of Sea Power Upon History, changed the world. It caused the first arms race, because he wrote a book that said he who controls the sea controls the world. And it started an arms race between all the navies of the world to build battleships. And the battleships then needed coaling stations for the battleships, which is how we ended up with Hawaii. We needed Hawaii because we needed a coaling station there. We ended up in the Philippines because we needed a coaling station there. So it started all these land grabs globally as the navies of Germany, of Russia, of Spain, of the U.S., of England, obviously, France, they all needed coaling stations for their new steam-powered battleship fleets because he who controlled the waves controlled the world. And then Orville and Wilbur invented the airplane, and it became he who controls the skies controls the world. And now it is he who controls outer space controls the world. And this is something to keep in mind while the Russians' spacecraft splatted into the moon. They are test firing laser beams at satellites. And the first thing that's going to happen in the next war will not necessarily be going on in Ukraine. It will be lasers taking out GPS satellites, communication satellites, to blind the West. And this is a real concern. And this is what the Space Force has been created to prevent. All right? For whatever that's worth. Meanwhile, we're just trying to figure out how to get to work on the 710 before it's time to retire.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Okay. I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire. With the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi on a network that covers more roads than any other carrier. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls. Finish up that presentation or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We've got a very busy 3 o'clock hour as well. We're going to talk with John Capel, of course, from the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association about the latest scheme in Sacramento to raise your taxes and make it very, very difficult for you to stop them from raising your taxes. And also that horrific murder that appears to be a hate crime where this woman was gunned down, was murdered because she flew a gay pride flag on her business. We'll get into that. And we're going to be joined by LA City Councilwoman Heather Hunt, who is proposing a bill that would make it illegal in the city of Los Angeles to run a cashless business. So we've got all that and more coming up. Meanwhile, Thursday, tomorrow's the big Iowa caucus debate, for those of you who are interested, and you may identify yourself as such. I'm going to take a hard pass on watching those people argue with each other. But the bottom line is the process is really heating up for the 2024 presidential election. In the midst of this, we have the surreal drama of the former president of the United States and the front runner for the Republican nomination, Donald J. Trump, to be indicted over and over and over again with a surrender date apparently going to take place on Thursday. To talk to us about this, ABC News correspondent Andy Field. Andy, how are you?
I'm good, Doug. Thanks. Yeah, he's supposed to show up. Well, he says he's going to show up Thursday. He has to post a $200,000 bond, which in reality is $20,000 in cash. It'll get fingerprinted. He will get a mugshot, something that did not happen in the other federal court cases. And then he will be released on his bond, told not to threaten witnesses or intimidate them or co-defendants. Which he's been told several times before, and doesn't seem to matter much about that. He keeps posting these things about various people on social media, and that'll be the end of that. Mark Meadows, his chief of staff, doesn't want to be arrested at all in Georgia. In fact, he is the first, and I think the only one, to say Georgia has no business arresting him or charging him, that he did all his work for the president of the United States under the direction of the president of the United States, and it should be in a federal court. That a court hasn't ruled on whether that will happen, so he's asked Fannie Willis, the district attorney, to give him a slight extension, and she sent back a curt note saying, no extensions for you, sir. We're not treating you any different than the other defendants here. If you don't show up on Friday by 12 noon, we will start issuing warrants for people's arrests, including yours.
Meanwhile, there's 17 co-defendants, including John Eastman, the former dean of the Chapman University Law School, and Rudy Giuliani, of course. So there's famous names and obscure names. This goes pretty deep into the president's inner sanctum. And people who showed up late in the game as part of the alleged conspiracy to subvert the outcome of the 2020 presidential election. You know, I got this question, Andy. It occurred to me when I was driving to work today that I don't know the answer to this after having covered so many of these kinds of events. Who pays for the transportation for people who have to come and surrender? Because they are innocent. I mean, does John Eastman have to pony up for his own plane tickets to go to Georgia and surrender?
He's got to pony up for his own plane tickets. He's got to pony up for his own defense. Donald Trump isn't, and not only Donald Trump isn't, but none of his political action committees are paying, as far as we know, for any of their defense in this. So it'll be interesting to see how they pay for all this stuff, because it gets really expensive.
Yeah, it's pricey to get arrested. So I would encourage people not to.
To avoid that.
Yes.
To avoid it.
I have done my best to avoid exactly that issue. We're talking with Andy Field, ABC News correspondent in Washington. So the president is going to, he has thus far said very little in any of his court appearances, but he does like going outside and making some statements afterwards. Obviously, his attorneys don't want him to do that. Attorneys very rarely want to have their clients off script in an ad lib environment, because they can say things that could and very well will be used against them. And in former President Trump's case, he has a habit of making very, very specific threats against people who dare speak up against him, which has caused physical threats to be leveled against, and certainly scares people off from serving on juries. And maybe that's the intention.
Well, one of the counts in this indictment, in this RICO indictment, is that the former president and others threatened two election workers in Georgia, to the point where their lives were in danger. It was a woman and her daughter who were poll workers, election workers. I think they counted the ballots. Former President Trump basically did not tell the truth and said that they were basically adding ballots to the thing. There's no evidence that that is the case, and that's one of the charges against him. And those threats are primarily a big part of why he's in this situation. One of the things that's interesting is that Donald Trump has been complaining that this entire system is unfair, that he's been treated unfairly, that he has to go. He's on his Truth Social the other day. He said, "Can you believe it? I'm going to go in and get arrested again this week." And what's interesting is that Donald Trump didn't always feel this way about people who were suspects. In fact, this clip I'm going to play for you was from 6 years ago when he spoke to a number of police officers and basically told them to rough up suspects who are innocent until proven guilty. Here's Donald Trump 6 years ago.
And when you see these thugs being thrown into the back of a paddy wagon, you just see them thrown in, rough. I said, please don't be too nice. Like when you guys put somebody in the car and you're protecting their head, you know, the way you put their hand up, like don't hit their head and they've just killed somebody, don't hit their head. I said, you can take the hand away, okay?
Yeah, that one was on Long Island, if I remember. And I remember there was
it may have been Connecticut. It was a bunch of police officers. But what's interesting here is that the police officers applauded the president of the United States telling them to rough up suspects who've been convicted of nothing.
Yeah, some of them did. I also remember seeing some guys who were just like nervously giggling, like, I don't know that we're really supposed to do that. But it was just an awkward moment, to say the least. Well, I don't think that that's going to happen. But No.
He's been treated with kid gloves so far, and it will continue this week in Georgia.
All right. Andy, thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate it. We're all going to be watching that circus as it pulls into town.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Doug McIntyre in for John and Ken. We're here till 4 when Conway comes along. A very busy 3 o'clock hour. John Capel of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association. He's on them. He's always watching Sacramento as they try to subvert democracy to make it easy to take your money, but make it harder for you to keep it. And we're going to also talk with L.A. City Councilwoman Heather Hutt, who is trying to prevent businesses from going cashless in the city of L.A. And I'm totally in favor of her on this one. So we'll get into that. And that horrific murder of a woman who flew a gay pride. She put a gay pride flag in front of her business and apparently was killed for this. So we've got all that and more coming up. The L.A. Metro is asking for the public to rename its West Santa Ana Branch train project because everybody thinks, does it go to Orange County? And no, it doesn't. So the name is confusing. So they're going to have one of those contests where the public gets to name it. Oh, boy. Is that going to be good? How long before it becomes Choo-Choo McTrain Face or something like that? You know, you let we the people have a crack at it, and it's not going to work out very well. Actually, that'd be the best thing that could possibly happen to the LA Metro, because essentially right now what it is, it's a rolling homeless shelter. That's all it is. And it's a tragedy because there's no great city in the world that doesn't have a mass transit system that people can use. And ours is an embarrassment right now. So we got to fix it somehow. Maybe that would actually get people to pay attention to it. I also saw this, and this really speaks to me. Hosting friends and family from out of town always sounds good in theory. No, it doesn't. But it doesn't come without its challenges. Two-thirds of Americans have told a guest to make themselves at home and regretted it later. Deborah, have you ever told a guest to make yourself at home?
I have, yeah.
Have you regretted it?
I have.
Eric, have you ever had anyone stay at your home?
No.
Okay, I thought so. No radio board op has ever hosted a guest. You usually are the guest.
Exactly.
That's what couches are for as radio staffers. Anyway, the point is that we solved the problem. We were just so rude to everybody. No one comes to our house anymore.
Really?
But the point is, a new survey of 2,000 Americans found 72% have told the guests to make themselves, make their space, their own mi casa es su casa, and 91% of those have instantly regretted it. I mentioned this yesterday with Gladstone's closing. All right, you take them to Universal, and then eventually you end up at Gladstone's and let the seagulls grab the French fries out of your hand while going for your eyeballs. And then you're stuck with them, right? This speaks to me because my sister Kathleen and I, we worked this out perfectly. My sister lives in Brewster, New York. And when I go back there, we finally spoke the truth to each other, which rarely happens in a family. She's got dogs, a lot of dogs.
You don't like dogs?
I like dogs, but I don't like them climbing on me. I don't like them. They're jumping dogs, okay? They're kangaroos with a dog collar. So we're cat people, basically. I like dogs, but, you know, to a degree. And she's got a lot of dogs. I don't know, 8, 9 dogs. And it could be less. But the point is that, as it turns out, she doesn't like having anybody in the house, or possibly just me in the house. So at some point in our relationship, we finally fessed up that I don't want to stay there and she doesn't want me staying there. So I stay at a cheap motel in Bethel, Connecticut, just across the New York state line. And I've been doing that for years. And you want to know something? Everybody's happy. Everybody's happy. Just spend, you know, go to the Red Roof Inn, spring for $69 a night, all right? Put them up at the Red Roof Inn, find a Super 8 somewhere. They got those little plastic cups of peanut butter. You can pocket some of those. You can live like a king.
And then you don't have to feel awkward and uncomfortable. You can just do your thing and you don't have to worry about anything else. I'd rather stay in a hotel as well.
Hey, here's the thing. Hotel bathrooms have exhaust fans. All right, I'm just going to leave it there.
Oh, God, your poor sister. No wonder she doesn't want you in her house.
That's who said, who? I didn't say who was using the bathroom. Mm. Let's get the latest news. Deborah Mark, KFI 24-Hour Newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to The John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.